Thank you, Jill. Good morning, everyone. This is a first this morning. You have two Roberts for the price of none. We're going to share this portion of the service, and we'd be interested afterwards in how you think it worked or didn't work, what went well and what could have been even better. But let's just explain how we're going to do this. I'm going to focus on the narrative of the story from Matthew 21, the one that Janet read for us. We'll be hearing it again during this time of reflection. And Rob is going to search the meaning of it all. So today we meet Jesus entering Jerusalem on a donkey. All four Gospels record the last journey of Jesus to Jerusalem. Since it was Passover, there were probably about 2 million people in the city. And this was the only time in his ministry that Jesus actually planned and promoted a public demonstration. We're familiar with his ministry up to this time. He cautioned people not to tell who he was, and he deliberately avoided public scenes. Why did Jesus plan this demonstration? So, how does this story unfold for us? As Jesus and his sizable group of disciples approached Jerusalem from the steep hill on the east of the city, they arrived at the village of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. It was from here that Jesus sent 2 disciples to a nearby village in search of a donkey and a colt. Jesus instructed them to untie the animals and explain to the owners that the Lord had need of them. Was this a prearranged plan and password agreed by the animals' owners, who were followers of Jesus anyway, or yet another example of Jesus' supernatural knowledge? The disciples did as they were asked, and it was Jesus, not they, who knew the deep significance of that action. The disciples brought the donkey and the colt. Matthew mentions 2 animals, while the other Gospels have only 1. Typically, a mother donkey followed her offspring closely. The prospect of riding an unbroken, frisky donkey's colt was not an easy one. The mother donkey was brought along to keep Junior a little steadier. And the disciples placed their coats and cloaks on the animals as a kind of saddle, and Jesus sat on the colt and the mother walking beside. By this time, a very large, excited, curious, frenzied, bewildered crowd had gathered on the road. Though a portion of the demonstration came from Jerusalem, many had no idea about what was happening. Others joined in later when they knew it was Jesus who was coming. The crowds greeted Jesus with the shouts of Hosanna. The word is a popular corruption of the term Hoshina, which means save, we beseech thee, save now. It was probably shouted by many who didn't fully understand its meaning, just as people today may say hallelujah without realizing that they are saying sing praise to Jehovah. The cheering and shouting echoed through the city. The crowd rejoiced and praised God with loud voices for all the mighty works they had seen, and in anticipation of what they hoped would come next. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. People greeting Jesus also spread a carpet of cloaks, coats, branches and flowers on the dusty road before him. We speak of Palm Sunday, but only the mention of palms is in John's Gospel. Some commentators think that because palms don't grow readily around Jerusalem and their thorns make them unsuited for spontaneous demonstration, they're either prepared in advance or probably were branches stored from the last celebration, the Feast of Tabernacles. Whatever, branches were spread along the road with other things. A carpet for a coming king. The cheering multitude saw the coming of the one who would perhaps lead them to victory over the occupying power. It would be a rallying point for the people against the priesthood and the collaborating aristocracy. Whatever, Matthew tells us that the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this? What is going on here? What is this all about? What does it all mean?"
Thank you, Robert. One of the important things about doing a double act is we have to get our facts right. And I certainly have some things that I'm going to say which are not the same as yours. And it might be age-related, because I've got a gentle slope from Bethpage on the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem up about a mile, not a steep slope of 2 miles. But we're here on Palm Sunday at the beginning of Holy Week. Palm Sunday isn't just a date in the Christian calendar. It's a wonderful day. We could call it a masterful day, a masterpiece. And like every masterpiece, all the details, and I really mean all of the details, are significant. Now, I'm a details person in work and in my life, and there's a lot of details to go through in this passage, and hopefully it won't take us too long and we'll all get home for lunch. But before we talk about this day in particular, let's consider other creators of masterpieces. In film, we have Hitchcock and Spielberg. Musically, we have the Beatles and the Stones. The artists, Da Vinci, Van Gogh, Banksy. And the authors, James Joyce, William Faulkner come to mind. Now, some may disagree with my choices, but I hope we can all agree that to these people, they're masters of choice. And for them, every choice matters. And this is equally true for Jesus. Now, as far as we know, he never painted or wrote music. He never made a film. And while the most important book ever written is about him, we don't think he was an author. But every miracle, sermon, and teaching parable communicated something. And this is especially true when he enters the last week of his life. While we call this period Holy Week, for Jesus it could have sounded like a ticking clock, a countdown. He knew what was coming and he knew time was running short. And so like everybody facing up to a deadline in their lives, his choices went into overdrive. Everything that Jesus says and does in his final days is steeped in meaning, though sometimes 2,000 years later we struggle to find that meaning and it may be confusing. We have heard just five days before a very public execution, Jesus enters Jerusalem like a rock star. His name is being chanted. Kids are singing songs about him. The adults are talking about him and about the prophecies being fulfilled. Jesus rides into the city on a donkey. Branches are cut, waved like flags. Garments are removed and put on the streets. Not an everyday occurrence now or even then. So what is going on? And over the next few minutes, I'd like to look at the scene, some props in the story, and some of the conflicts involved. So why is Palm Sunday important? It honours what the Bible calls the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, a key event in the life of Jesus that marks the start of Holy Week and the approaching end of his life. Everything else that happens in the following week starts here. The tossing of the tables, Judas's kiss in the garden, the agony of the cross. Now Jesus' entry into Jerusalem is recorded in all four Gospels, and the main facts are pretty similar. Now there are some minor additional details across each, such as who was with Jesus, the two donkeys, which is only in Matthew's Gospel. So let's look at the setting. Jerusalem at Passover. And one of the benefits of preparing for a talk like this is you get the opportunity to do a little bit of research. And I think some of the facts here are quite interesting. Jerusalem at Passover. Let's try and imagine what it was like. Think of the scene of Edinburgh at Hogmanay, or if anybody's been to New York at Christmas, the experience of the energy and the magical feeling that is really, really immense. And so it was in Jerusalem, but perhaps multiplied. Jerusalem, known as the Holy City, had been the centre of God's interaction with humanity for 1,000 years prior to Jesus. Prior to Jesus' arrival on perhaps what we'd call the ancient equivalent of a people carrier. King David had established the city, and his son Solomon had built the first temple within its walls. Thinking about a different story in the Bible, 1,500 years before Jesus, the Jewish people had endured 4 generations of slavery in Egypt, and God had rescued them. You may know the story. It involves plagues and the parting of the waves. Passover was the yearly celebration of this rescue and one of the most important dates or holidays within the Jewish calendar. It was a pilgrimage festival, which meant that people returned to Jerusalem undertaking a week-long celebration that included the traditional meal, the cedar meal, the retelling of the Exodus story, and the sacrifice of the Passover lamb in the temple. Now, as Robert has mentioned, there were potentially 2 million people in Jerusalem. And because space was limited, people often arrived early to find a place to stay, to make preparations, and to start their celebrations. And on the Sunday before, Passover being on the Thursday, on the Sunday before, the place was already buzzing. The story of Exodus from Egypt was on everybody's minds. And putting this into the context of 60 years before Jesus, the Romans had captured the holy city. And while they had allowed a degree of religious freedom, the people were weighed down by taxes and politics. They wanted to be freed again from their pagan oppressors. God had saved his people from a world power before, and the pilgrims must have wondered when he would do it again. The people wanted a champion, and Jesus arrived. We've heard the story of the entry into Jerusalem, and it must have felt like a victory parade. Now, if we're thinking about sport, I'm a Swansea City fan, and I can only imagine how it must have felt. We've never won anything. But I like to think of it being similar to the streets of Manchester when City take to an open-top bus, showing off the most recent piece of silverware to an adoring crowd. Only, in this case, Jesus hadn't won a trophy, and he didn't have any other signs of victory. All the expectation was placed upon him by the crowd. Robert has nicely told us about the story, and I'm going to pick out a few details that I'm going to look at in a bit more detail. We have the donkey, we have the robes, we have the branches that we'll assume are palm branches, and we have the crowd shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Now, interestingly, we don't know from Matthew where or what happens to Jesus next, but Mark tells us that Jesus rode through an ever-increasing crowd, went to the temple, had a look around, realized it was getting quite late in the evening, and went to the outskirts of the town to rest. Seems like a little bit of an anticlimax, doesn't it? And the stark contrast between the frenzied crowd and Jesus' behavior. So what does this all mean? As mentioned at the start, every detail matters, and let's explore some of these details. Palm branches, or branches, were an ancient sign of victory, especially a military victory. There's a number of theories as to why this was the case, but I actually like this story that I'm just about to tell you. About 150 years before Jesus, a bloodthirsty Greek king had conquered Jerusalem and started a reign of terror. He defied the God of Israel, stole artifacts from the temple, and turned the altar into a shrine to Zeus. He killed everybody practicing Judaism. Many of the people capitulated, but one family, the Maccabees, led by a young man called Judas, also known as the Hammer, fought back using what we perhaps call guerrilla warfare tactics. He retook Jerusalem, re-established the worship of God, and saved the Jewish people. The celebration lasted for 8 days and became the basis for the Jewish holiday Hanukkah. The book of Maccabees details the exploits, describing people waving branches in the air. For all of you who are wondering where the book of Maccabees is in the Bible, you may have forgotten. But seemingly it was removed in the 16th century at the time of the Reformation for various reasons that I can tell you about at a different time. The word Hosanna. Hosanna was the word shouted by the crowd as Jesus passed by. It was a popular word in Jewish culture at the time, and it's one they'd come to depend upon. The history of God's people was full of highs and lows. The lows looked like exile, invasion, and being conquered. We've mentioned Egypt, but there were Babylonians, Alexander the Great, Ptolemy, the Greek, and now the Romans. So the Jews had grown used to shouting, "Hosanna, save us." Moving on to the robes. The robes on the ground fall right in line with the palm branches and the shouts. It was an ancient way of showing importance of an individual, looking at stories of the ancient Jewish kings. And there's one story relating to a king, Jesu, whom God made king. And on learning of this, his men removed their robes and placed them under him as a sign of reverence and respect. So palms, Hosanna, and robes. The signs suggest the crowd hoped that Jesus would be their champion, or their warrior, or their king. That Jesus was going to be just like Judas the Hammer, and he had come to overthrow the pagan Roman rulers. Perhaps they were thinking of King David, the national hero who also came from humble beginnings. That this rabbi, born to essentially nobodies in a backwater town, would be the same, their saviour. But Jesus had other ideas, and we come to the donkey. Not a fearsome beast. No. If you're a commanding king riding into a city, you'd set yourself upon a great horse. But a donkey is a simple, often stubborn animal, a service animal. Not the impressive limousine of the day, perhaps more like a family-friendly people carrier. Anticipating the crowd's desire for an earthly king, Jesus chose an animal that shows devotion to the mission. Jesus came as a servant, as he already had explained, and which he shows again later in the week by washing the disciples' feet. While the crowds wanted the hammer, Jesus knew the words of the prophet Isaiah, who 700 years before had stated, "The Messiah would be a suffering servant, despised and rejected by men, while bearing their punishment to make peace with God." And Jesus also knew the words of the prophet Zechariah, who proclaimed that Israel's king would be righteous and victorious, humble and riding on a donkey. So, who is Jesus? The crowd swarming Jerusalem that day saw what they wanted, a leader, a champion, a warrior who could save them from Rome. But that's not why Jesus came to earth or to Jerusalem. He didn't come to reclaim political boundaries or fight physical wars or to remove foreign invaders. As he had already told his disciples in Matthew 16, he came to Jerusalem and he was going to suffer and he was going to be killed for it. So rather than physically reclaiming as the crowd wanted, Jesus was reclaiming spiritual boundaries in a spiritual war. The crowds wanted a champion, but Jesus was not that champion. He was a servant king. A champion rescues but makes little demands. A servant king rescues and has the right to rule and reform. A champion serves your purpose. A servant king who lays down his life for his people is worthy of being served in return. So I finally sort of asked myself, how many times have I got this wrong? How many times have I thought of Jesus as the champion? How many times have I made Jesus about my wants, fighting for my desires and uplifting my way of life? Unfortunately, too many times. And this is why Palm Sunday is important. It forces us to stare into the face of our self-absorbed presumptions around Jesus. And when I do that, I see myself in the crowd, making Jesus into who I want him to be, rather than allowing him to define himself as a king who chooses to serve rather than exploit his people. I've spent quite a lot of time this last week or so considering, reflecting and thinking about the passage that we've heard, and we are going to get you to do a little bit of thinking and reflecting upon the passage without the time that I've had available to me. So I think we're going to hear the passage again.
Thank you, Rob. So for the next few minutes, we're going just to ask ourselves, what does this all mean for me here on Palm Sunday and looking forward to the events of Holy Week? Janet's going to read the passage again. As she does, would you think about what resonates for you in the words that we're going to hear today? And then we have some questions to think about. Thank you, Janet.
As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
Thank you, Janet. So, John, if we can have the PowerPoint screen. Questions to ask, many, and responses to share. So, two questions to invite us all to consider. What word, phrase, or image from the passage will stay with you this week? And as we commit to staying with Jesus as he enters Jerusalem and journey with him, another question. What difference would you like this to make to your thinking and daily living through this Holy Week? In a moment's quietness, let's just think about our responses to those two questions and the invitation in a few minutes to share your thoughts with someone else. Some quiet music to help us. Time for thought, and now perhaps a time for conversation. Would you like to share your thoughts, Rob, on these two questions?
So, with regards to the first question, the image that comes to me is actually Jesus on the donkey. And the reason for this, the symbolism of service, sacrifice, devotion, the lack of, I suppose, any kind of ostentatiousness regarding the choice of animal that he rode into the city on, which I guess is the opposite of what the crowd would perhaps would have been expecting.
And the second question?
Moving on from the service and sacrifice, it's essentially to try and live as Jesus lived and to serve him as best as I can. Relatively short answer.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. Please share your thoughts with somebody nearby, and then Rob's going to close in prayer for us in a moment or so. But please, do share your thinking.
will be in.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And let's just be quiet for a moment as we come to the end of this time with Matthew. And Rob's going to close with prayer for us.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we welcome you into our hearts this Palm Sunday. As you rode humbly into Jerusalem, teach us the way of servant leadership and humility. May we carry the spirit of this day throughout Holy Week as we walk with you through to the great victory of Easter. Hosanna in the highest. Amen.
Thanks, Rob and Robert. Really thought-provoking. Thanks very much. We're going to...